It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, let's go. I don't know if I hit the post on that, but I wanted to get some screaming in. Because people are fired up. Alex Cora is fired up. Brian Bello's fired up. The entire Red Sox clubhouse is fired up because they felt like Gerrit Cole intentionally hit Rafael Devers in the first inning with a 91.2-mile-an-hour cutter. And then they said, or Alex Cora said, that idea, that impetus for that was cemented when he intentionally walked him with one out, with nobody on. And the Yankees winning 1-0 at the time. A most bizarre intentional walk. Sammy of the Playtesty podcast joins us, and he says it's the most bizarre intentional walk of the season. Even more bizarre than when Tyler O'Neill got intentionally walked to get to Devers. Devers hit the 2-run double and then won an 11-game hit streak. So it's your prerogative to say that, Sammy. But I do want to dive into this intentional walk. It is, you know, we've talked a lot about the hit by pitch. Was this intentional or not? And that's going to carry over to the next game. It will be interesting because as just one last tying a bow on that hitting Devers in the first inning, Sammy, is that you have to have a pitcher who can execute that. And when I say executed, you had talked about Bayo, watching Bayo, and where he threw that pitch to Judge. And to me, it's like it seems like such a weird place, such a weird pitch, that it did seem out of the ordinary. And sometimes, and I go back to the Pedroia Machado thing, like a big part of that was that you had a pitcher, and I think it was Matt Barnes at the time, who just couldn't do it. Like, he couldn't execute it. You had to wait until I think they got back to Fenway, and then Chris Sale said, okay, let me show you how to do this. Yeah. Let me show you. But some guys just can't do it.
I did think it was weird that Cole used a cutter to hit Devers. Like, kind of a wimpy move. Like, if you're going to hit the guy, hit him with your four seam. Don't throw the cutter, like, leaving that little room for plausible deniability so he could be like, I didn't mean to do it. I don't know. It's just...
Is that your Gerrit Cole imitation?
I didn't mean to hit you, Raffy. I'm sorry.
Of all the podcasts, nobody's better at imitations, and now why you break up the Gerrit Cole one. I should have asked that for you before. But, Sammy, so let's dive a little bit into the intentional walk. So, as we said, let's set the scene here. You have one out, nobody on, the Yankees winning by a score of 1-0 in the fourth inning. Now, just everything else aside, it's just stupid. It's stupid because okay, Devers hits a home run. It's 1-1. It's right. In the fourth inning. Oh, well. But what happened was worst-case scenario for the Yankees. Devers steals the base. You get a couple hits. Next thing you know, Red Sox score 3 in that inning. For the next inning, Gerrit Cole out of the game. So it just made absolutely no sense. But as I said, what Aaron Boone's explanation for this was that they had talked about this sort of approaching how they wanted to approach Devers. They want to, as he said, be a little bit more aggressive, intentionally walking him, and, which is like weird, right? Like when you say, we want to be aggressive by intentionally walking a guy in a nonsensical time.
Oh, my God. Yeah. What has happened to the Yankees?
But the part is, and Boone was really trying to balance this. He said, but I really probably wouldn't have done it there. But it was on me because I didn't get the word out to him enough. And anyone who saw the clip, Cole says, like, holds up the four fingers. Like, Cole is like, okay.
Oh, that picture of him holding up the four fingers is everywhere.
Other than one finger, there's been no better multiple finger gesture since Chris Sale saying Rich Hill has two pitches in the World Series. The Gerrit Cole throwing him with the
four. That's right. I kind of forgot about that.
All right, we'll put up another poll. Best multiple finger gesture in a Major League Baseball game. Like, all right.
On the topic of the intentional walk, this is something that the analytics crowd, you can't quantify this. That was Brad Foe, we like on the Playtesty podcast, at least, we talk about vibes a lot. We do a lot of vibe checks. We think that's very important. This was just complete destruction of the Yankees' vibes. Why? it's such a show of weakness. I keep coming back to it's just showing
weakness. No, you know,
weakness.
I'm gonna take the other turn, other tact in this, which is I think this is where, well, what it is I think and I'm glad you mentioned analytics. Because I think that they get ahead, they get before, they talk before, as Boone said. They're mapping this out. And so they're mapping this out, and this is a scenario. Let's just say this, play this out. Allegedly, because I don't want any losses, allegedly he hit, you know, he said, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to hit Devers first. That's what we're going to do. Because that's what a lot of times happens if a guy's tearing another guy up for a long period of time. Okay, you know, I'm going to show you what's what. You're going to get one in the ribs or whatever. All right, so that's step one in our
with a cutter, though.
Okay, oh, with a cutter.
I can't get over that. It's so weak.
So that was part of the master plan. And now phase two is that when we get him up again, now we're not gonna mess around with him. We're gonna intentionally walk him, and so that's gonna be the plan. And what I think emboldened Gerrit Cole even more, and why he didn't even defer to Boone, why he basically said earmuffs, I'm just holding up my four fingers and sending him out, is because remember, Sammy, I believe at the time he had a no hitter, right?
Yes,
he hadn't given up a hit. So in his mind,
it's even worse. Then
he's like, hey, listen, I'm feeling so good. The only guy who could possibly get a hit off of me, I'm intentionally walking him. But I honestly believe that's how he thought. That was the thinking.
I would, if I were a Yankees fan, I'd be livid if that's how my ace is thinking. That's
no,
so
dude,
weak.
Dude, listen. Yankees fans, this is so nuts how this season is going. Because as Jeff in Watertown said, and we've said this a bunch of times, it is so there to be had. Everything. We saw the Orioles. They're taking on water. We saw the Yankees. There is, like, we keep saying this, Sammy, over the last few months. But I feel like as we sit here right now, it's no more evident in the American League that, holy mackerel, there is just a bunch of flawed crap. You know, that's what it is. And the Red Sox included. I will include the Red Sox in a bunch of flawed crap.
Oh, yeah, of course. You have to. I mean, who would pitch game one for the Red Sox? You feel it's a whole different conversation.
Well, Brian Baio. I mean, Brian Baio probably would, right?
Right now, yeah.
Richard Fitz. Maybe Zach Penrod. I don't know.
Unhittable Richard Fitz. That guy.
I
mean, wow.
Yeah. Zach Penrod, what a great story. That was great. I love. Yeah. Listen, anytime you get tears in the equation, that's going to go to the top of my
list. He looks like he could be related to Roman Anthony, by the way. I was thinking that in the postgame. Penrod and Roman Anthony look like they could be like cousins.
I will ask him that. Much like when I asked Brad Keller if he was related to Helen Keller. So anyway, we have to take a break, but I want people to call in and tell us what's what when it comes to getting riled up over the Red Sox, getting riled up over this team. Like, does this, like, this is the what's good is that we have this, like, passion, we have this animosity. This isn't Colorado Rockies.
No, I'm rejuvenated. I feel so good. I'm living every day like it's the biggest game of the season right now. That's where I'm at. So I feel awesome.
Yeah. And you know what? Okay, I'm going to spin in. Here's another thing. This is Optimism Saturday. Where, yeah, sure. Hauk, you know, I guess Hauk is going to pitch in Tampa right now. We'll see. But listen, the guy who filled in for him, like, that was part of the solution, not part of the problem.
Yeah.
Richard Fitz. Like, there you go.
He's been better than anyone acquired at the deadline. How good and bad is that?
You know, Roman Anthony's brother, Zach Penrod, comes in and looks awesome. You know, like who knows? Luis Guerrero? Well, yeah, I barely have seen him pitch, but sure.
Nothing makes sense this year. All the guys you bring in who are solidified veterans, they don't work out. Then Richard Fitz works. I don't know.
And you got the two guys at the end, like, in decent shape, in Kenley and Chris Martin. Hey, you know, there you go. There's the formula. But the problem is, as we know, as we have said, you've dug such a big hole for yourself. But, like you said, Optimism Saturday. As we sit here, it's Optimism Saturday. As we, the great game of baseball is so fickle and unpredictable, and all you have to do is look at beating New York for the last 24 hours. That's all you have to do.
Optimism Saturday, be part of the domination.
Yes. I mean, listen, as I was watching Jemai Webster eat an awful slice of pizza in Soho last night at 1 o'clock in the morning, I thought Red Sox season is over. Now, as I'm getting ready to watch him eat another awful slice of pizza at 1 o'clock in the morning in New York, I will say they have a chance.
Yes.
24 hours later. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Tom, my guy Tom, is going to give you a trend. This is the Baseballs and Boring Show. 617-779-7937. Call in and join the fun. We're with you till 6 o'clock. That's Sammy from Playtesi. I'm Rob Bradford. Be Be back after this.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All right, welcome back to Baseball's and Boring. I'm Rob Bradford, live overlooking Fenway. I'm not on Fenway. This isn't Fenway part. This is Yankee Stadium. Overlooking an empty Yankee Stadium. They're cleaning up, getting ready for the series finale tomorrow. We'll see if the vibe for the Yankees comes back to where they were last night, which you aren't going to have higher vibes. I think the vibe meter, like, broke the Empire State Building scene. Can you imagine, like, rooting for a team that happens to, like, that happened last night? Can you imagine that, Sammy?
You know, I could imagine it, but it really doesn't matter because that's in the past, and the Yankees lost
the latest. Right.
So.
There you go. The how the worm has turned, or whatever you say. All right. So, anyway, 617-779-7937. We're on with you till just about 6 o'clock. We've been talking a lot about this intentional walk, Devers, and most importantly, if in case you didn't hear it, Alex Cora, a fired up Alex Cora after the game, saying that, yes, Gerrit Cole intentionally hit Rafael Devers. He hit him on purpose, he said. He hit him on purpose. He didn't want to face him. That's the bottom line. You know, that's what Alex Cora said. So anytime you get any one of those going, then, yeah, it's going to, like, amp things up. But Sammy, here's the thing. Like, as much as we love this, as much as, like, you have to – your dad's there, and your dad's screaming at you, say, lower the heart rate, just like Ricky Bobby's father, you know, when they threw the cougar in the car, right? Lower the heart rate, Sammy, because here's the thing. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Either you pitch well, you play well, as we said before. You have 13 games left. It's a results business now. You're up against it. You have to do something that you have done one time since July 5th. You know what that is, Sammy?
Please tell me.
That is win as many as 3 games in a row.
Yes.
Isn't that incredible?
I thought that's where you were going. Yeah, that's kind of shocking that they haven't even fallen into that somehow. I feel like that's hard to do almost in a bad way.
Yeah, but this is the thing. This is your last gasp. I think that if you go back to 2021 when they went on that run in September and barely made the playoffs, I believe, if my memory serves me correct, in that month, they had winning streaks of 7 games, 4 games, and 3 games. So you haven't come close to that. So now you're in a situation where I think, okay, Sammy, you tell me, 13, I keep saying 13, I think, I'm pretty sure it's 13 games left. 13 games left. What do they have to go?
Oh, all right. I'm going to consider that the Twins have not been playing good ball. The Tigers are kind of a wild card here, no pun intended. I'm going to say you got to win at least 8 of those. Maybe 9. I'm going to say 9. You got to go on a real heater at this point. And I know your favorite thing in the world, playoff odds. They're at about like 5, 6%. So you really got to win the vast majority of those games, which is unlikely, but it's doable.
Okay, I'm going to give you the dagger before we go to the phone lines and get Danny on. I'm going to give you the dagger.
Crush my good mood.
Yeah, I am going to crush your good mood right now.
Please.
You know who the Tigers end up with?
Oh, don't say the White Sox.
The
please.
White Sox. The White Sox. End up with the White Sox. Garrett Crochet, you know, pitch limit. So anyway, but hey, listen, this is Optimism Saturday. As we said, if you were watching last night, you went into today. Other than Zach Penrod, the great Zach Penrod story that this guy, I mean, we can rattle through all the things. It is a really good, unbelievable story, and you can see, you know, whether you should go check out the interview that Joe and Will did with him after the games. I mean, this guy, they said, tears and beers, man, tears and beers. That's what you get. You get after a day like today, but it is Optimism Saturday. There's a lot of good things. A lot of things turned from last night. But now we have to take a deep breath, lower the heart rate, and see where we're at. I'm anxious to know where Danny's at. What's going on, Danny? How you doing?
Yeah, so definitely optimism on Saturday. I think 10-3, possibly. Ooh. I want to hold on. 10-3 gets us in. We sweep Minnesota next week. Detroit goes on a little bit of a skid. They've been on a tear. Seattle, who's above us, also, of course, goes on a little bit of a skid. But when you look at the scheduling for Detroit and you look at the scheduling for Seattle, it's not an improbable number. It's a low number, but it's not improbable. So it's been a great summer. Enjoyed watching Rob, long time listener and first time caller. So I'll hang up and listen to your thoughts, sir.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much, Dan. Thank you for calling. I hope you keep calling.
10-3, he said. I might
He said 10-3 will get you in.
Yeah, I might jump over to that ship with the White Sox knowledge that you just imparted on me. It might be 10-3. Which
all right, so I'm going to make you feel a little bit better. All right.
And
again, we're talking about the Detroit Tigers. What's their? Are they playing right now? Or are they playing tonight?
Orioles.
They're playing the Orioles. They're playing the Orioles tonight, 6:10.
Yep, Twins play the Reds, and then the Orioles.
So,
and Tigers.
So they play the Orioles, and the Orioles, you know, they're having their own problems, but they're still a decent team. Then you play the Royals, you play the Orioles again, then you Rays, the pesky Rays before you get to the White Sox. That's what we're talking about with the Tigers. So, I think that – but what a gift. What a gift that is to have the White Sox at the end. And we'll see. I mean, I think what it comes down to, and I think that Dave's right, I think 10-3 is probably realistic. I mean, it's a lot, but it's probably realistic for what you're up against, isn't it? Isn't it, Sammy?
Yeah. I mean, do I think they're going to do it? No. But it's possible. 10-3. Come on, you got some hope. What is it? 5.7%, I think, on Fangraphs. It probably moved.
Stop it.
You study Fangraphs. You love it.
I vomit every time I open the Fangraphs website and go to that page. I vomit. But, you know, and that reminds me, of course, and this is something I do want to get into before the end of the show, is, as we said at the beginning, this is the year anniversary of Chaim Bloom being let go, and you can't think of Fangraphs without thinking of Chaim Bloom and the underdog comment, because that's, I think, when a lot of us were introduced to the Fangraphs odds, so, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So I do want to reflect a year later about some of the good and the bad and where they might be or where they have become, because it's a good jumping off point. But first, let's go to Chuck in Plymouth. Hey, Chuck, how are you?
Hey, man, thanks for taking the call. You know, I look at this team and I wonder how good they would be if Lucas Giolito didn't go down, or maybe if Ruzny Castillo would have panned out. But I just want to say they definitely have overachieved, but I'm heartbroken about something, and I was away when I didn't get to hear the response on this, but when Cora decided to pull whatever the pitcher's name was that was throwing a perfecto in Detroit, and then he went over to Rich Hill, who's, DFA'd, why did he pull him? I'm dying to hear this. It's probably the most disappointment dagger that I have felt this season. I just thought I'd call and see if you could weigh in on that.
Oh, Chuck, thank you. And if we don't have T-shirts made up about disappointment dagger, Sammy, what aren't we doing?
Disappointment. I was actually going to say that about, what was it, Tears and Beers?
Tears and Beers.
Yeah.
Well, that's Tears and Beers is more when you make a major league debut, because you get the beer shower, and then you have the tears from all the emotions.
Tears and Beers.
Tears and Beers. But the disappointment, that's something the play testing should implement. Who gets the disappointment dagger?
Oh, you know what? That's unironically actually a really good idea. I'll pitch that to the boys and see what
all
they
right,
think.
Thank you. That's only $5.
Thank you, Chuck.
Okay, thank you, Chuck in Plymouth. But it's, yeah, sure. I mean, like, all these things, you know, what would happen in terms of, like, pulling Cooper Cribbs? Listen, I will never remember that moment. I think it was obviously a bad decision. A bad decision.
Yeah.
I mean, this is we always have these examples of the – and maybe today was another example of over-planning. Like, maybe Gerrit Cole and Aaron Boone over-planned. They certainly over-planned.
Just a bit.
Yeah, they overplanned in that Cooper Criswell thing. There's not even a question
it. They build like a pillow fort and put on a nightlight to talk about Rafael Devers. He's so scary.
It is. It's like, hey, you know what? When you come in the park, you know, I got a half hour blocked out of my schedule. We're going to talk about Rafael Devers.
We're going to go over his numbers against you, Garrett. They're bad.
So, but anyway, it's the whole Cooper Criswell thing when he pulled bad. In synopsis, bad decision, just like inexplicable way of using Rich Hill, which inexplicably, I get what they did, but I know that we're all friendly with Rich, but I sincerely mean this. Like, I don't get that. Like, I didn't get it, where you have two innings, the cleanest innings they've had in a month, and then you back-to-back for a guy who was pitching in the fields of Cooperstown, like, a week before, and then the next one, you bring him in with the bases loaded, and sure, he didn't get the job done, but that's that. It's done. What's done. And next thing you know, you have Cam Boozer out there. And with all due respect to Cam Boozer, you know, I would – what I saw from Cam Boozer, I would have just as much rather have Rich Hill. So anyway, that's besides the point. So to come back to what we were talking about with, like, what you have to do. What you have to do. So this paint this picture there, Sammy. Sammy, you play Tessie. This paint this picture. Because it's best case scenario optimism Saturday off of the Red Sox 7-1 win with the blood boiling in the clubhouse. Best, you just paint the picture. How do you get there? How do you get, if we're going to put it in 10-3, if we're going to do this, if we're going to put it at 10-3, and in case people don't know, you have one against the Yankees tomorrow, you have a day off, you have three against Tampa, then you have three at home against Minnesota, and then you have three against in Toronto, and who am I forgetting at the end? Is the Orioles? Is the Orioles at home, right? Is the Orioles?
Checking right now. I'm checking right now.
Yeah, I think I'm so proud of myself for knowing the schedule. They couldn't get all the way to the end.
There's a ton of games left, so.
Oh, is there?
Tons. Is they end really? With Tampa. They got Toronto and Tampa to end after the
all right,
Twins.
So in synopsis, Yankees tomorrow, three against the Rays at the Rays, three against the Twins home, three against the Blue Jays, three against the Reds. So the Red Sox schedule is really like, if this comes back to it, it's winnable. Like, all these games are – and I'm not just saying they're winnable because they're winnable, just because, like, hey, you know what? Yeah, you can win any game and the American League's wide open. I feel like against these teams, they could potentially actually match up okay. Do you agree with that, Sammy?
Sure, yeah. I mean, it, against those individual teams, I'm sure they match up fine, especially like Minnesota, ice cold right now, colder than the Red Sox. So that's not really the issue. It's the big picture thing, and you kind of have to walk that line of, you know, looking at the big picture, but also every single game has to be managed like it's the end of the season. And what I think the best way to go about this is kind of what Cora has started doing. He's got that kind of mindset, or it seems like he's trying to instill that kind of mindset in the Red Sox of, like, say they're like the seventh or eighth ranked boxing contender and they got a fight against the champion and the odds are stacked against them and nobody believes in them except for them. That's that mindset that they need to have. The low ranked boxer coming for the king. That's what I want to see, and I feel like that's the direction Cora's headed. Maybe it's
here's the problem. If you have the meat packer robe, and I'm using a Rocky reference.
Yes.
But if you don't have the equipment and you don't have the muscles and you don't have the ability, it doesn't make a difference.
But you got heart.
Yeah, I know. With a little gut and a little guile.
Cliche.
We need Alex Cora doing a Rudy on his stool speech. If I'm him, I put the stool in the middle of the fantasy football draft, which are, you know, oh, they actually already have that. Whatever. Put the stool in the middle of the clubhouse and say, with a little gut, with a little guile, we're going to hit him high, we're going to hit him low, let's go. But here's the problem. Here's the problem, Sammy, is that you hit the nail on the head. You have to obviously manage like it's a playoff. You're in the playoffs now. That's what you are. You're in the playoffs. So you have to manage that way. The problem is that I think that he has been managing this way and really, like, in – the first off, like, some of the moves I think haven't been great, and the other part of it, they haven't been great because the personnel they have. Like, you talk about bringing Zach Kelly.
Zach Kelly
has had such a good year for the most part, but recently it's been square peg round hole because of what he had become. Right. So you want Zach Kelly. You want the best version of Zach Kelly. You want the best version of Cam Boozer. You want the best version of these guys, and you just simply aren't getting them, and you have nowhere else to go. And that's where I come back to, Sammy, the trade deadline. Like, all I could think about last night was, this is the problem, that you went out, you did what you needed to do, which is you patched the holes with Lucas Sims and Luis Garcia, which were supposed to be the guys you're patching the holes with, much like you did with Austin Davis and Hansel Robles.
Right.
But boom, it wasn't even close to working, and now you're not only left with bad versions of them, you're left with no versions of them.
Yeah, I mean, our caller earlier was complaining about using Zach Kelly and Cam Boozer. And then the alternative that he suggested was Luis Guerrero, who's pitched like five major league innings. For me, it's the personnel. And you can say what you want about Alex Cora's decisions. I think he's fine with managing the bullpen.
No, I absolutely think it's the personnel.
Yeah, it has to be the personnel. If your alternative is a guy who's barely pitched at the major league level and has never been touted as a top prospect or anything close to it, it's a personnel thing. So, and that's why I said earlier, there's two ways to look at it. You can look at it from the point of view of the players who are expected to go nowhere all year and they've overachieved, or, and this is more so what I'm doing, you look at it with the organization view, they never should have been in this spot. So it's just so many different ways you can view this team, and I think at the end of the day, it comes down to they likely don't have the personnel to make the playoffs. We'll see what happens, but that's the big issue.
Can I tell you, tomorrow's a huge game. Like, and I know we say this all the time, but the reason I say tomorrow's a huge game is because if you win tomorrow, you get the day off, and then you play these teams that we're talking about, Tampa, Twins, Blue Jays, Rays again. Like, those are winnable games. But you have to, whatever momentum or whatever grit and guile, whatever blood-curdling emotion that you had in the clubhouse heading into tomorrow, like, you have to take advantage of that. That is a fact. All right, before we go to a break, let's go to Derek and Pepperell. Hey, Derek, how are you?
Bratho, how are you, brother?
What's going on?
Everything good? Everything good? So,
yeah, everything's great.
Yeah, so I 100% agree. Win tomorrow. And what I was saying was every single series coming up till the end of the year is impactful. Every single game we play that we beat any of these guys, we go up a full game, correct?
You go up a full game?
So do we? So if we play Tampa, we're up a full game. If we play Baltimore, Yankees, and who else do we play? I can't remember.
You play the three. Listen, you have the Rays for six games, right? So obviously, you know, if the Rays ever pass you, your season's over. We know that. So you have the Rays for six games. It comes down to, it's not really full games. The only games that matter of the teams that they're playing actually head to head having enormous impact is, it's not complicated. It's the Twins. You have to.
Okay. I gotcha. Because it's not the division we're worried about. Because it's the wild card.
Division's gone.
I got it. All right. Well, thank you. And I am waiting for. I'm on the list. I'm waiting for something crazy that you're going to send me. And I'm really, really fired up about what you do, Brefo. Baseball is not boring. It's my absolute favorite sport. And I am, like, freaking high energy, too. Nobody ever understands that I'm freaking into baseball. It's so crazy.
Well, let's go. Make sure you contact me. Get whatever you need, and we just spread the word. I appreciate it. All right. Thanks, Derek. All right. Another baseballs and boring followers, so many of them. I appreciate everybody, and we get a lot of big things coming up. A lot of times, Sammy, we say, like, a lot of big things coming up, but we actually do. And you know what? I'll tell you one of the big things. Hats. We get hats coming up. We get hats in about a couple of weeks coming up. All right, at BB isn't boring. At Play Tessie as well, the official Red Sox podcast of WEI. That's what my guy Sammy, he's part of with Gordo and Pat and Joe Schmo Braverman. I say that with all an endearing way because, you know, everyone's going to have a nickname. If you have a better nickname for Joe Braverman, do you have one?
Big Brave.
Big Brave. All right. Big Brave. That's better than Joe Schmoes. Braveman. Absolutely. all right. We got one more segment coming up. I do want to do a quick sort of recap of 1 year ago, Chaim Bloom was let go. I want to get Sammy. I want to get your take, but we're going to take a quick break. Be back after this.
Yeah, Tommy.
There you go. Let's do it. Got a few more minutes here on the Baseball Isn't Boring show with you up until about 54-ish. But we're going to finish strong here. Great day of baseball here at Yankee Stadium. I'm at Yankee Stadium. My name's Rob Bradford. That is Sammy at Play Tessie. He's at the Baseball Isn't Boring studios in Brighton. Say hello, Sammy.
Hello, Sammy.
All right, 1 year ago, today, Chaim Bloom was let go as chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox. When that comes to mind, Sammy, what are your thoughts?
Great baseball mind was probably not in the right role at the time.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I think of a lot of things. So at the time, my point was, you know, I think that you had just heard too much about how he was too slow in the draw when it came to trades, when it came to signing, not being aggressive enough, not wanting to get uncomfortable enough. And certainly the trade deadlines did him in. And it's interesting you look at the trade deadline now, Sammy, because, you know, you made the move. Craig Breslow makes these moves and everyone's happy. They give him the B minus his grades, and you get these guys, and then it's just been an utter disaster. But mm-hmm. they tried to make the moves. So, but you look at it, and I think that the lesson learned is, and you tell me if I'm wrong, from both the Heim Bloom era and Craig Breslow's first trade deadline, is that if you are going to buy, they keep saying, we're not going to middle it. Well, if you are going to buy, then you got to be willing to identify the guy and be aggressive in getting the guy. And I'm talking about picking the right guy, picking the Michael Kopech, the A.J. Puck, you go down to the guy from San Diego, who they got, Jason Adam, and those guys. Get those guys or Jack Flaherty. Be aggressive. If you're going to buy, be aggressive and don't get halfway, because I think that this deadline across the board is the ultimate, you got what you paid for. Tell me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, kind of, sort of. With the starting pitching with James Paxton, I think you're spot on with that. I felt like I was actually in the minority. I thought that was a good move because I figured there was going to be a follow-up move, and there wasn't. So I did not like that at all. I figured this guy is God-tier injury prone. This guy has been hurt so often, and then he pitches 11 innings. I didn't think he'd pitch that few innings, but I wasn't surprised when he got hurt. With the relief pitchers, this is where I kind of get some brain block, because conceptually, both those guys, Garcia and Sims, were hot when the Red Sox got them. Those are two solid relievers with multiple years of major league experience. You figure that it'll translate to the Red Sox. Just didn't work. For that one, I'm like, how could you even fault Craig Breslow? Nobody saw that coming. So a little bit of fence sitting on my part. I thought the concepts were good, other than Paxton. The results just haven't. They just haven't been.
Concepts are a powerful last week.
Yeah, I have concepts of trade ideas, but you know.
Exactly. But that's the problem. And so, especially when the relief pitcher at the deadline, it's a crapshoot. We all know this. But I think that it is absolutely a fact that if you've picked the right guy, like if you pick the right guys, you would be you had the right idea, like you said, you had the right concept, but you did not execute it the proper way. And I think with Heim, it's just, you know, he actually hit on some. Probably, you know, you look at 2021, he hit on those guys. But
yeah. That was fine. I mean,
but I do want to say this in closing, Sammy. I do want to say this, is that I do think that the Kenley Jansen, Chris Martin model, this is what Heim did. He paid for the certainty of an important position, and that was the one area which he absolutely did that, and that's the lesson that should be learned. Like that, how much those guys have meant to this team. Like, you cannot get by without paying for some semblance of certainty. That's what you did. I looked it up today with Kenley, games that Kenley has pitched in his 2 years, 77-25. With Chris Martin in games that he pitched, 66-29. Like, you usually are winning when those guys are pitching, and it's because you knew what you were going to get.
Right, and it felt like sometimes with Bloom, I won't go there with Breslow yet, it felt like he was kind of trying to be the smartest guy in the room, and sometimes you just got to simplify it, and I felt like that's what he did with Martin and Jansen.
And I know that, again, Heim did a ton of good things. We're seeing it on field now, but across the board, a lot of these newer GMs, they want to win the trade by 70%. You can't always do that. Sometimes you got to win it by 51%. We won this show by 100%. Excellent job, Sammy. You're going to be dropped. So tomorrow night, play Tessie, yes?
Tomorrow night, afternoon, whenever we can all get together. But tomorrow at some point.
Is Gordo chiming in from his honeymoon?
Gordo will be there, yeah. Hasn't missed the show.
It's so sad.
No, it's dedication.
What's your dad's name?
Richard.
Richard, he's in studio?
Yeah, he just stepped out, but he's listening.
All right, Richard, thank you for popping on by the Baseballs and Boring Studios. Tom, thank you for all your hard work. You A+, perfect game, another good job today. Next week, big show, Minnesota Twin Series. See you later.
Customer service and
trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again. With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.